Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti, and our wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle, will join us shortly. She's traveling and checking into her hotel, so she'll be joining us shortly. Tonight's show, we've got so much information tonight. There has been so much happening this week. I'm sure most of you have gotten bits and pieces of it, but it's really kind of a snowball of things happening. Very, very excited. You know, the team is saying, hey, you guys want to open a Stargate? You're going to open up everything. So we're excited. Tonight's show, Becoming the Master of Your Thoughts and Emotions. And tonight we're going to talk about how we can finally move out of all the self-judgment, sense of failure, and this is an opportunity to see things in a totally different way. It's very exciting. More empowerment for all of us. I think everybody will love this show. It certainly was an eye-opener for me. And tonight's dedication is to the opening of the Stargate, which I have to tell you, we have got so much support for this. Things are happening everywhere. It is absolutely amazing. I have never seen so much magic in my life, so I'm very excited to have all of you listening tonight. Love you all. So, one of the first things, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this, a brand new planet's been discovered, and I don't know that I can pronounce it properly. It's GLIESE 581, GLIESE 581, in the constellation of Libra. Scientists are very excited about this. They call this being in the Goldilocks zone because it's the appropriate distance from the sun, and meaning that it could have, I love this, it could be habitable for human beings as well as other forms of life. Now, this is one of many planets that are going to be discovered. This is what the team is telling me. And so I'm very excited about that. But the team has also talked about the fact that there are many planets that we see that are actually have life on them in other dimensions, that we just don't see those dimensions. But this, again, a very, very, very exciting discovery. Right on the heels of this, these findings came, this is out of that original article, these findings came only days after officials from the U.S. Air Force came out and reported that they'd been hiding information about UFOs and aliens that had disabled nuclear weapons on testing bases. and this is all information coming out in 1 week. Now, many of you are familiar with some of this information because it's been out. Captain Robert Salas has done videos and done presentations throughout the country about his experiences. He was actually at one of these nuclear bases when they had visitations, not only at his base, but at another base close by. And they were actually disarming the nuclear warheads of these missiles, the ETs were. However, this is finally coming out into the public eye, CNN, everywhere. Now, what's interesting is that these things happened so many years ago, and yet all of a sudden, all of this stuff is hitting the airwaves in a really big way, and it's going global. Finally. So, extraterrestrial life, possibilities of extraterrestrial life, all of it, all of a sudden, everywhere. What's really interesting about this one, though, we also have a RAF colonel who's come out together with U.S. military people as well. And they're all going public. At an event in Washington on Monday, the men will release declassified U.S. government documents, which they say they can back up, that can back up their claims. In quotes here, "I believe that the security services of both the United States and the United Kingdom have attempted both then and now to subvert the significance of what occurred at RAF Bentwaters by the use of well-practiced methods of disinformation." They go on to say that there are 6 former U.S. Air Force officers and 1 former enlisted man who are also going to present declassified info, which they claim back up their findings about the nuclear warheads. And they have witness testimony from 120 former or retired military personnel, which points to alien intervention at nuclear sites in the U.S. as recently as 2003. This is really exciting stuff, people. There's another Air Force captain who's come forward to say that his security team saw a cigar-shaped UFO hovering above F.E. Warren nuclear base in Wyoming in 76. And Robert Hastings, who's on CNN, he's an investigative journalist. His quote is, "At long last, all of these witnesses are coming forward to say that, as unbelievable as it may seem to some, UFOs have long monitored and sometimes tampered with our nukes." I'm just loving what's going on. Now, in addition to all of that, and of course I've been hearing this one all week long, and I've heard different variations of it from one end to the other, but the UN has appointed an official representative to extraterrestrials. Now, this just doesn't get any better than this. UN appoints Malaysian astrophysicist as space ambassador for ET contact. Now, when this first broke, I mean, within hours, I got pieces of this, and there was some of the press out of the UN was saying that they had contacted this woman, and she was in denial and so on. It has now gone all over the world. This piece actually came out of an Asian newspaper, which I thought it was reported from East and Far East Asia. And I love this. "When aliens arrive on Earth, they will no longer have to worry about who will greet them. There's an ambassador to hail them if they come a-calling." Now, a lot of newspapers have had a lot of fun with this. It was in the Post. It's been everywhere. This woman's name, and she's from Malaysia, which I think is very interesting. She heads UNOSA. And she's Earth's first official point of contact person. Takes on her new role next week. Now, you know, I have to say that, like I said, a lot of these papers have had a lot of fun with this. Poked a lot of fun with it, and of course they will, except that right now so much information is coming out that I think people are finally getting very serious about all of this. They're realizing that the amount of information that's just been released this week alone is huge. So we're living in some very, very, very exciting times. Now, I know the team's going to talk to everybody tonight about the Stargate and what kind of impact it's having, and I think all of this is very, very exciting. I'm having way more fun than I really should be, but I'm loving every minute of it. Okay. Want to talk about people that are placing crystals, because this is really... The reports I'm getting back from people are just stunning. And, you know, if they were dissimilar or completely unrelated, I might feel differently, but they're not. Each one of them is even more exciting than the one before. Dear Laura, who had told me she wanted to go out on a whale watch vessel, and there was a particular cove that she really felt was calling her to place crystals for the opening of the Stargate. And she and her two children went out on the boat. When they pulled into the cove, there were four orca whales in the cove. Now, you would never normally see orcas in that area at this time of year. Her feeling, and I don't know what the team told her, but I'm assuming that they absolutely agreed that, but the sensing was that they were waiting for her. Now, the interesting thing is that about 2 months ago, as soon as the announcement went out, actually, however long that was ago, about the opening of the Stargate, the whales and the dolphins started coming in very, very strong. Dear Natalia, who did not know that, they've been coming in, and I've been calling them in before every session because they've been coming in so strong, wanting to participate in everything. Texted me one morning, and she said, "What is going on with the dolphins and the whales?" She said, "They want to participate," and I started giggling because I thought, well, it's great. So she was getting it as well. So, again, another wonderful story. Again, so many stories. Dear Jennifer put crystals up at the Golden Gate Bridge, and she was able to get them in even where the footings are, as well as into the water. And considering that we have Homeland Security so actively watching these primary sites in the United States, it's a miracle that she was able to get to the footings of the Golden Gate Bridge and place crystals in there. Her experience was that the crystals were very excited to go, that they absolutely wanted to participate. They knew she did all kinds of ritual and things with them. It was so lovely. I was so excited. She had an extraordinary experience. And, of course, so many of you have sent information or talked about your own experiences. Again, for those of you that are going to put them, you know, around your home or one or two in the yard, whatever, make sure that that's the last place you put them rather than the first, so that you're not, you know, kind of cross-eyed, you know. By then, you will have made some of your own adjustments. It's the easiest place to put them, but also the last place you should. Somebody else asked me, they were unable to put them in the ground because they lived in an apartment, and they were concerned about if they put them on a windowsill, no problem. In order to energize them after cleansing them, that is not a problem. They don't have to be sitting on the earth. In essence, they are. They're sitting on a windowsill in a building that sits on the earth. So they're getting all the energy that they need. Sun, whether it's direct or indirect, and moon and stars. So they're doing fine. Let's see. I know I had some other questions about... again, some of you may find that when you find crystals, you may find a crystal that wants to participate with you, that doesn't want to go into the Stargate and hold the energy. You know, if you have that sensing, keep the crystal with you. If you're coming to the intensive, bring it. If not, carry it around over the weekend of the 9th and 10th. Okay. All right. Tonight's subject, really a wonderful one. This is a quote from Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret. And it was sent by Squirrel. Squirrel does a thought for today, which is always lovely. This happened to be her thought for today on the 20th. The fastest way to become the master of your thoughts and emotions is through challenging situations. If your life is going along fairly smoothly, there are not the same opportunities that enable you to strengthen your power and become the master of your thoughts and emotions. Again, if your life is going along fairly smoothly, there are not the same opportunities that enable you to strengthen your power and become the master of your thoughts and emotions. You see, even challenges are beautiful opportunities in disguise. The reason this hit me so powerfully, and I found it very, very interesting. I thought it was powerful when I read it. And I went to my wonderful chiropractors, and my right shoulder has been somewhat frozen up. It was very frozen up for a couple of years. And you know, I did a ton of yoga and this and that and the other thing, and never really was able to open it completely up. And everybody knew it was tied to some big emotional thing, but nobody knew what. I knew it was tied to my ex, love, and because it came on at the time of our breakup, so I just put two and two together. It's not like it was rocket science. And so the chiropractor said to him, you know, I've been lifting all this weight, you know, at the gym, and it's certainly opening up, and, you know, I'm really working with it and very excited, but we need to focus more energy on it. So he started working on the shoulder, and he said, you know, this is, and I want to try to quote him properly here, that it was about me seeing people that I love disintegrating spiritually in their lives and how difficult it was for me. And of course, I am certain that I was just holding on to it. Now, when he told me that, it was so profound because I looked back over my ex-husband, over my ex-lover, and then, you know, my children, you know, different people in my life who at various times have done things that I knew were really opposed to who they were as people, that, you know, they were these powerful spiritual beings with huge energies and could accomplish so much, and it was very, very difficult for me. Two ways to look at this. One is that, you know, I'm so stubborn I was holding on to it because it's on my right shoulder, masculine side. Two was the burden aspect of it. Three was the sorrow and disappointment because it went from my right shoulder into my right breast, which is where I've had a tremendous amount of trouble in my life. So I found it really interesting. And when we were talking about this shoulder, I flashed back to this piece that Squirrel had sent. And I tied them together, and I went, wow, I finally get it. Now, we all have people in our life that have been challenges or situations that have really challenged us in terms of how we handle our thoughts and our emotions. And for all of us, nobody has done this perfectly. I know this one absolutely. I'm the biggest offender. I absolutely know the struggle that I have been through in my life with people that I, including my mother and others, my father, I mean, everybody that I saw turn their life into disasters as far as I was concerned, or do things that were so incredibly hurtful to others. You know, there's a laundry list. And I never understood, and I struggled with it mentally and emotionally. Long periods of time with both my children, with tremendous struggles with both of them. And I think everybody out there listening has had their issues with their children, with husbands, with lovers, with friends, with animals. I mean, I don't think there's any, with health, you name it. I found it fascinating the more I thought about it, that I know there's one person hopefully listening tonight that has struggled in... Hello?
Hello.
Oh, Veronica's joined us. Hi.
Hi. I apologize, but every imaginable thing went crazy. What do you think that means?
Well, I don't know, dear. You're here. That's the important thing.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be here.
Hi, Veronica. We're thrilled to have you. Oh, just all kinds of stuff. At any rate, what we're talking about is this wonderful thing about becoming the master of your thoughts and emotions.
Aha, what a challenge this has been, eh?
Yes, so... Now, the juxtaposition of this, and Veronica, I want you to talk, if you can, about your friend, because we talked about this on the phone the other day, about taking it too far.
Ah, about my friend who's very ill?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that one of the things that we talked about was that she wanted to have no feelings out of control or anything, so what she's ended up doing is mostly denying her feelings or having kind of a layer over top of them. Sort of interesting, and it's cost her a lot of deep inner health issues, I believe. You know, she was
so basically she stuffed her emotions instead of dealing with them.
Yeah. So you stuff them in various organs, and of course we know that the organs that you choose to stuff them in talk about life too, don't they?
Absolutely.
Tell a lot about the reasons that you're stuffing them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's the other end of it, because becoming the master of your emotions and your thoughts isn't about stuffing them. It's about being able to be, if we go back to detached compassion, being able to look at every situation and instead of reacting, okay,
mm-hmm.
being able to pull back enough to see what's going on, to recognize it, to detach, to be compassionate, but not to stuff your reactions, which if I understood properly, your friend who didn't want to be not only reactive, but it sounds like she was trying not to feel the depth of her emotions.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that some people find it easier to get along by not feeling it at all. And I really think that's dangerous for most of us, isn't it?
Oh, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole thing tonight doesn't mean that you don't feel. It's talking about reacting. It's talking about losing power. It's talking not only about giving power away, but buying into the drama and losing your power, because as soon as you go into a reactive mode, when people act out in ways that you know are really counter to their what you perceive, I won't say now, what you perceive is counter to who they truly are at a soul level. That's always the heartbreak, don't you think, Veronica?
Yeah, I think it really is. I just wonder... Like, the emotions are so valuable in themselves, aren't they?
Emotions are valuable, but not when we give our power away with them.
So it's like when we give into them and they run our lives.
Well, what I was talking about before you called in and joined us was I look at the struggles I had with my own children and my lover and my husband and so on, and the emotions that I felt over the things that were happening were absolutely devastating to me. However, because I was reacting to what was going on around me, I may have looked for solutions and done a lot of other things, but I didn't have the presence of mind to say, no, pull back here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Compassionate detachment doesn't mean you don't love. Doesn't it mean that you don't validate what you feel, but it does mean to be able to look at it from a different perspective and not give away tons of power by buying into the drama.
Yeah.
Which is what I think historically we've done on Earth anyway, is get caught up in the drama of the experience.
I was just thinking that it's the drama, it's when we take the emotions to the drama instead of just having the emotions and then clearing them.
Everybody's absolutely, I agree with you, Veronica, because everybody's emotions are real. Anger is, guilt is not real. Guilt's a contrivance. It is not real.
Right.
But anger is real. Joy is real. Love is, these are all real emotions. when I broke up with my great love, I remember they kept saying to me, pain is optional, pain is optional. And I'm thinking, please, God, I'll do anything, just take away the pain. And the answer I kept getting was, pain is optional. And that really struck me.
That's really mastery, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not being cheeky. I'm just saying I agree.
No, you could be cheeky because, believe me, it would not have been appropriate to give the universe the finger, but I was there. I mean, it was like, oh, just what I want to hear.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I was thinking earlier also about karma. If you come in and you have an anger already that's boiling in the soul, right? Some people do. Some people have emotions that are going so cellular, they're so far through, that it is really hard to make it simple.
Well, if they come in with those emotions anyway, they're coming in to learn to master them, to heal them.
Right.
So it still runs true for them. Now, they have a harder road to hoe. No question about it. They're going to be triggered more quickly. They're going to have to deal with it in a lot of different ways. We all know people who are angry. And they have a much more difficult time dealing with just the highs and lows of life. Because they're reactive and they're constantly giving their power away. Mm-hmm. And then they're even more angry because they gave their power away. Don't you think?
Yes, I really do think that. So when we go back to what you were talking about with your first love and the three things that you were talking about, I think you're talking about your daughter, your big love, and your husband?
Yes. And that all three, by the way, were sitting in the shoulder.
Were what?
All three of them were sitting in that frozen shoulder.
Isn't that interesting, hey?
It is. And I went through years of yoga. I remember having a girlfriend saying to me, well, you were going to the wrong instructors. I had three of them. We tried everything short of slamming it in a door. We could not unfreeze the shoulder. Even backing it up over it with a truck. And what's interesting is that in the last, year, it's all started opening up. Really wonderfully, but it came to me that I wanted it to open up even more when I went to the chiropractor. I said, let's really focus some energy since it's doing so well, because I want to be able to hold a barbell behind my back and do the squats, with the thing. And so I actually found that after going to the chiropractor Saturday, I could do that. I was so excited. And
really? Wow.
Yeah. And it's interesting, he didn't make any adjustments on it. All we did was tap into this knowing. And as soon, it had already been opening up anyway, but that took it another boom, just like that. And it's been a lot better since. Because with all the weights that I lift, that arm is always sore, and, I've had problems with the right breast. That's where I had all the surgeries. So it takes in that whole right side. And it went all the way down my leg, and we opened that energy as well. So it was my whole right side.
Wow.
I know this would shock you to hear that I was holding on to anything.
So has it changed? This is a cheeky question. Has it changed your, it hasn't been very long, your relationship?
Well, it's interesting what it did is it gave me clarity in a whole different way. As I looked back over RM, I looked back over my ex-husband, I looked back over my daughter, that of course, I mean, now, again, this is me, so,
Of course.
I looked at it and I went, what better way to train myself than to bring in three of the most difficult people in the world? Because down to sheer survival, if I didn't learn to master my emotions and my thoughts, I wouldn't survive. Now, I've had this in a number of challenging situations from, you know, government agencies, you name it. And I've constantly worked on mastering my thoughts in my emotions, knowing that that was the key to be able to move through every challenge. Because what I did, including cancer and on and on and on, was that if I didn't, it would get the best of me. It would ultimately take me out because I would just fall apart. I mean, that's not an option. Well, I mean, I guess it is an option. It wasn't an option for me. Although I got there several times where I just said, I'm out of here. However, for all of us, and, you know, there's somebody listening tonight, I hope anyway, and they were having a struggle after all these years, sessions and this and that, and, you know, I still don't have the relationship I desire to have with my husband. And that was one of the first people I thought about. And I thought, oh, my God, this is so clear, because I know her husband. I know him to be have a great deal of mastery, so on and so forth. I didn't say he was perfect. I just said I know he's got a lot of mastery. I also know she does, too. But the key for her, as I looked at her whole life, it was like kind of all ran, you know, like a movie screen. And I went, oh, my God, it was never about their relationship. It was about her thoughts and emotions and her reactiveness. And if she could then look at it not as a failure, but as an opportunity to create that mastery, then all of the failure and the self-blame and the blaming of the other and all of that could fall away. And it made so much more sense.
It would change the entire picture, wouldn't it?
I thought it did. I just thought it was like, wow. And I was kind of life reviewing today about my daughter. And, I mean, she's just played a magnificent role. And, you know, I just think it's phenomenal.
And master with a stick.
Well, the thing for me is I could never understand, you know, I never did understand why we're together in this lifetime. You know, I couldn't go back and hit a bunch of lifetimes. But when I looked at it and I thought, God, I have to, well, I don't know that she'll get it, but I have to thank her. I have to do it, work with her higher self and thank her for the role she's played. And for the roles that everybody in my life has played, to force me, really force me, to start looking at my reactiveness. Even my son, who is really pretty easy to get along with, but he'll call me on it a minute. I mean, nobody raises their voice in this house, ever. It's just not done, mainly because we can accomplish so much without ever having to do that, and we can do it with humor. And my son will always, Mom, where's your humor? What happened to the foot, you know?
That's great.
Oh, it's Master perfect. You know, as I'm running around whining, as I often do, I'm so busy. I'm a little, you know. Does that prevent you from being funny? Where's your sense of humor?
Well, I'm not sure those of us who watch you do that would probably laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called improv, honey.
I absolutely, well, especially, you know, I tend to take things fairly serious, overly serious. So, at any rate, I thought this was just such a wonderful subject, and I do want to bring the team in because I know they've got a lot to say right now. What you did then, very quickly,
subject,
sorry, everyone, is that we had the, not only what you had talked about earlier in the week, which I had gotten different versions of, which was the ambassador to extraterrestrials, the new planet that's been discovered, and the disclosure by 120, and this is on CNN, by the way, all this week. This last one on CNN, 120 people coming forward about
120?
coming in and disarming nuclear warheads all the way up through 2003 on both U.S. and U.K. bases.
Wow.
So this is three big things in one week. So I don't know. All this was coming together tonight, and I'm just like, wow.
Wow.
You do have the show notes.
Is this the shift we've been waiting for?
I do think so. All right, let me get out of here and bring the team in. I love you, honey. I'm glad you're there.
Thank you. See you later.
And we're going up to the top of the hour.
We're going up what?
It's top of the hour.
Did it hang it up?
All right. Welcome, Veronica. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you so much. Happy
to be with all of you tonight. First of all, we want to congratulate all of you for all of your efforts, for participating in any level, for the opening of the Stargate. We want you to understand that from the very beginning, you're accelerating the timetable of everything. Again, it had to come from you. Your desire, your intentions, your claiming how powerful you truly are to do this. And believing that you can. And you're beginning to see the signs. And people, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of the iceberg of what's coming. Now, it's not like your name's going to be in the newspaper and people will read about you. However, you can all sit back and smile and know that you helped change and accelerate the knowing, the understanding, the interaction, the clarifications, the disclosures on Earth. You can give that to you. You can give it to your soul and to your spirit. And know that you participated. Some of you, perhaps just by placing a crystal. Now, we know that placing a crystal entailed buying the crystal, cleansing the crystal, programming the crystal, deprogramming. Deciding where to put the crystal or crystals. And do not underestimate, regardless of the size of your crystal, the power and the intent of what you've done. And some of you still doing it. Now, we don't want you to give your power away to the crystal. What we want you to do is to recognize that you were working co-creatively with the crystal, giving it an opportunity to become multidimensional, to be functioning on many levels all at once. This is why many of you are experiencing this connectedness to the crystals that you've already placed. And we would say to you, you haven't seen anything yet compared to what you're going to see. More and more disclosures. And now you see that all of these things are hitting your news media, whether it comes through computer, newspaper, or your television or your radio.
It's exciting, isn't it?
We are excited for all of you. And we are excited as well on this side of the veil. Because you've all made the commitments, you see. You're the ones that have made the commitments. You're the ones that have made the choice. We didn't choose it for you. We are working with you co-creatively, yes. And you're all working together in the dream state, people. Diligently, with many others. Many of whom don't even know that they're participating in their conscious state. That's all right. Now, will there be more disclosures? Yes. There's going to be a lot of media, a lot of interest. Oh, there's always the initial feeding frenzy where they get to make fun and make light of everything. And poke fun. And but you see, all of this is integrating into your society as a whole. It's becoming more and more commonplace. Before, it was fringe. Oh, like your television program, fringe, all right. On the edge. And many of you felt that you've lived your lives on the edge with your beliefs, separated from the masses. And in a way, you've been in the world, but not of it. All of you. You're all moving into your mastery in magnificent ways, people. We love what you were working with tonight. This is powerful stuff. If it can change one thing in your life, or the way you view one thing in your life, changing one thing changes everything. You know that, don't you, Veronica?
Yes. Like the woodpile.
Yes, exactly. If you can look at someone or something or a situation, and instead of going into blame or thinking that the other person is terrible or mean or this or that, think of them as a gift, an opportunity for you to work with what? Your mastery. Your thoughts, your emotions. Now, again, not stuffing them somewhere in some organ, and we don't laugh at people who've done that. Even the channel shoved them into her shoulder. We don't want you to do that. You all do enough of that already. But to be able to bring them out and up, take a look at them, examine them, why am I having this response? Bashar, in his book, made a brilliant statement. Brilliant. He talked about the fact that every experience is neutral, and you put the spin on it, no one else. You decide, regardless of what it is, you get to decide. Think of how powerful that is. I can decide to be upset about this, or I can decide to go on about my day. There was a perfect opportunity for the channels had her struggles this week. Her son's former employer tried to run him over out of a moment of extreme emotion. Extreme emotion came up behind him in a big SUV. Intentionally, he had to leap out of the way at an accelerated speed. And he came home and told his mother. Now, as you all know, she talks a very good show, but as the mother, and we do understand this, she was enraged.
I bet.
And she had to work with this over and over and over. All right. Now her son was able to let it go completely. Where the channel wanted to have a police report, to show you the difference, this woman texted him the next day and said, let's meet for coffee. And he said, fine, as long as you bring a cab and not your car. Now, we thought that that was very good.
That was a woman that wanted to run him over?
That is a perfect example, you see, of being in control of emotions and thoughts. He didn't go there, and he forgave it instantly. He didn't stuff it. And he didn't react. Now, it's an extreme case, people. It's an extreme case. He forgave. He saw her emotional state, understood the circumstances, and let it go. Now, many of you encounter these situations in relationships, in your outer world. Many of you have situations where there's injustice going on. This company did this, or that did that. It wasn't fair. You get to decide by changing your thoughts and your emotions. As Bashar said, you can change the impact of what's going on around you. Test it if you don't believe us. The next time something happens that really upsets you, remember that it's neutral. You decide the impact. Now, this isn't about stuffing emotions. It's about being empowered enough to say, wait a minute, I'm going to turn this around. I intend to experience only good from this, whether this person's the messenger or whatever. But how you respond to it, strictly up to you. And how it impacts you is also up to you. That is the most important piece. And unfortunately, as humans, you've not known that, not understood it, not realized it. Now, these are circumstances. Likewise with people. And if you could realize the truth, one of the great paradoxes on your planet, that there's really only one of you, and that you have other versions of you that look different, that are other soul energies, yes, but basically when you all come together, you're only one. All playing out these different scenarios, when you respond differently, it changes. Because they don't have to keep playing that role anymore once you get it. Does that make sense, Veronica? Veronica? Seth? All right, everyone, we're sorry. We got Veronica dropped off, and we're here. All right. Let's go back to how do you respond in your personal life. Perhaps you have a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a child or a lover. And they trigger. They know how to trigger you. They push a certain button. You all have this. What would happen if you stopped reacting? If you were able to pull back for a moment. Recognize, get break the habit or addiction. And they take some time, people. It's not going to happen overnight. It may take some time. But once you're able to do it, the more you're able to do it, the faster it will change. Now, you can't do it as a manipulation. Well, if I do this, it'll change. And it's not a matter of it being a manipulation. It's a matter of, you don't manipulate the universe, by the way. What it is being empowered enough, aware and awake enough, be able to say, ah, wait a minute, I get to choose. Or they say something that normally would get you going. Choose differently. Now, we promise you that the first time you don't do a normal reaction, what they're used to you doing, watch their faces. Because they will kind of look at you like, wait a minute, I didn't get a response out of that. Interesting. What's going on? Wait a minute, they're not playing the game we're used to. Even if it's a game they hate, by the way. But the more you change it, the less they'll do it because, you see, they don't have to anymore. They fulfill their contract with you when you no longer react. Once you gain, now, yes, there are going to be some people that just drop out of your life, but again, fulfillment of contract. What kind of contract is that? Well, before you come in, all right, I want to really work on mastery because you're all doing this. Mastery of thoughts and emotions. You're all doing it. You all came here to work on it in varying degrees. How many sleepless nights have all of you had worrying about something, which is the greatest waste of energy we can imagine. And certainly all that does is make it worse, adds negative energy to the situation. But when you can train yourself, again, not stuffing. If someone makes you angry, responding, I feel that was out of line. I won't accept that. Without screaming and yelling, but dealing with it from a different level. All right, we're coming out of time here. What we'd love to do with all of you tonight is to work with you during your dream time on mastery of emotions and thoughts. Now, we're not going to heal it for you all. We can't do that. But what we can do is to help to shift it, to bring things into your experience for you to be able to look at clearly. Oh, there it is. Oh, here's the way I normally respond. I'm not going to do that. So that you can feel more empowered people. Not a victim of your own emotions and emotional responses. Not getting caught up in other people's drama. And there's a lot of that going on right now on your planet. A lot of drama. In personal lives everywhere. So again tonight, if you will but call us in, we send to each and every one of you our total, complete, unconditional love. It's always a joy to be with you. Namaste.